times no matter. I'm on fire on the playground.
This is Ink Studs on CITR 101.9 FM, joined by my co-host for the day, Miriam Libicki.
Hello.
And our guest is Ruta Modan, talking to us from England. But you're not from England originally.
No, I'm from Israel. I'm only been living for 2 years now. I moved just because of some... my husband work here, but I consider myself from Israel. I can't say that I'm from England.
Now, your latest book is Jamilti, and as well as Exit Wounds from Drawn and Quarterly, and the strip that just finished, I guess, about a month ago from the New York Times, as well as, I guess, a whole lot of other work with the Actus Group Collective.
Well, we had we published a new anthology last year, but in Jamilti, I think it's the best. You know, I collected my favorite stories that I did in Actus.
Okay, how old are most of the stories in Jamilti?
Oh, the oldest one is 10 years old,
mm-hmm.
which was just a few years after we began. And for me, it's the first story that I wrote and drew by myself, and I was satisfied with it. And I felt it said, what I want, the style, the kind of style of story that I want to work on. So this is why I chose this story to be part of the collection. It's the oldest story in the collection, but... it's the first one that I felt is worthwhile putting in the collection.
It was the first piece that you felt that you'd really hit your stride, I guess?
Maybe this is the word. Yeah, it's the subject, the way... It was before that I only wrote really short strips for newspapers, and I work with the author Edgar Keret, who is doing short story, the writer of short stories, and I didn't have the confidence to write a long short story, and this was the first time that I succeeded in doing it.
So tell me, what drew you to make comics? Why comics, I guess?
For me, it was very natural because I was always, even as a small child, I always liked to draw and I liked to invent stories. For it was, you know, like a perfect combination. I didn't read much comics when I was a child because there wasn't, you know, it was very difficult to find comics in Israel. But when I first time that I saw alternative comics, it didn't matter. You know, I felt it immediately. I understood this is what I was looking for.
What were some of those early ones that blew you away, that impressed you so much?
Well, I remember because it was the first. It was in the Academy of Art in Jerusalem. It was the first comics course in the academy, and the professor he was from Belgium. This is why he knew about comics. it was then a crazy idea to have a comics course in the Academy of Art, and he in the first hour of the course, it was dedicated to, it just brought us piles of books, and he said, okay, now just read for an hour and then we'll discuss what is comics. And so the first thing that I took to my hand was Raw magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And I read some stories by Linda Berry and Charles Burns and Art Spiegelman. So it was, you know, the best from the start. First authors.
You can't get much better than Raw magazine.
No, it was like a culture shock. I really, this was a amazing experience. Just to it was like, I think I said it in the past, it was like falling in love from first sight.
What was your artistic interest before comics? Because you're saying you're in the, was it the Academy of Art?
Illustration and, well, I didn't really know, you know. I went to the Art Academy. I always liked drawing, but I wasn't sure that I wanted to do it as a profession. And then my best friend said, let's go to the and try to get into the academy. And so it was just, you know, I didn't even know if I wanted to do it. And then I got in, so I started studying. Now it seems crazy, you know, because I feel, you know, I really think it's this what I meant, you know, to do. But then when I was 20, I wasn't sure at all. I didn't know if I was good enough or if it would be interesting enough for me. I didn't know about comics.
Was it after going to school that you got involved in, I guess, the Israeli version of MAD? Is that a good way of putting it?
Yeah, it was about a year after I finished my studies, and it was published in Israel, who was trying to every few years there was a publisher who tried to, who thought that he found, you know, the secret way to how to make comics popular in Israel. So this was another attempt to do it, and the publisher bought the rights to do the MAD for the Israeli version of MAD magazine. And I was already working as a comics artist in newspapers. I had a comic strip, and so he asked me to be the editor, and it was Irmi Pinkus. Later we founded the Actus together. And it was fun. It's not important as it sounds. We did everything by ourselves. The translation, the, you know, the design. The editing, everything. It was half of it was American material, and half was original material. And we did everything from Yomi's kitchen. Yeah. Once I met somebody, asked me, and I think it was Adrian Tuman, asked me, where was your office? Well, it wasn't really your office. It was a kitchen table, and he we even had roommates at the time. And what the problem was is we both were what we really wanted to do is a Israeli Raw magazine and not an Israeli Mad magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the style of the original of the design, and also the style of the kind of materials that we asked for artists in Israel to supply. And the result was people who like Mad magazine were really disappointed by the Israeli version, and people who like alternative comics were really disappointed by the Mad material, and nobody bought hardly anyone bought the magazine. After a year, it was closed.
It's probably collector's items now, though.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. It was fun, and also it was a great experience, and it led us to do Actus because we said that if we are going to lose money doing comics, we better lose it on something we really want to do. And this is why we started publishing our own material, with not with a publisher, and we didn't need any commercial material to support the comics that we were interested in.
Didn't I sachet sugary. Everything I got is done in palm. Everything I got is done in palm. Palm my hat, palm my shoes, palm everything that I could use. Oh, lot of me, didn't I shake sugary? Everything I got is done in palm. Everything I got is done in palm. Have a little secret I ain't gonna tell. I'm going to heaven and I ain't gonna. Oh, lot of me, didn't I shake sugary? Everything I got is done in palm. Everything I got is done in palm. Chew my tobacco, spit my juice. Would raise cane, but it ain't a bit of use. Oh, lot of me, didn't I shake sugary? Everything I got is done in palm. Everything I got is done in palm. Everything I got is done in palm.
It seemed, Miriam showed me a fair amount of ACTA stuff, and it seems that right off from the things I've seen, that you really wanted to make this something separate and special to itself, more than just a group of folks putting stuff together.
Like the design decisions and...
It's not like that we decided to want to make it something special, but we decided from the start that we're going to do it as just exactly as we want it to be and what we think is good and beautiful, and not to think about, you know, if it's going to be commercial, or if this is the way you do comics, or if it's if it's reasonable to publish in color. And I think this is what made it unique, because we didn't think about if people are going to sell it. We just thought about what we want to do. And the other thing is, because no one of us came from a tradition of comics.
Mm-hmm.
Education in comics is very eclectic. What I found in the, you know, what I was introduced to, and the way people with, and what I found in stores, and I think it's the combination of the five of us. It's not exactly European. It's not exactly American. It's something maybe a little bit strange, because it doesn't. No, it's not. We didn't have anyone to follow.
Mm-hmm. And that's good.
Yeah, it's good. It's you have a lot of freedom this way.
But
we didn't think about it. We just did it.
Tell me about how you learnt from each other in your own storytelling, working with friends like that.
Yeah, this was what was the best thing about ACTUS, is we had each other to work with. Because when we founded ACTUS, it was more, we thought it would be just more practical to do it with in a group. You know, it's so much work to publish and to distribute. But as the time passed and as the year passed, it was more about working together, to have someone to discuss the process of the work, which is very rare for illustrators and cartoonists. Usually, it's work that you do alone. You know, it's not like musicians. I always envied musicians that they can, you know, play together, or people working in film. in films. But working as a cartoonist is so, you know, it's like being a monk. You are in your room, you don't see anyone, and you don't talk to anyone. And in the end, when the work is finished, you didn't really want to hear any criticism about it.
Because it's too late.
To hear it's good. Mm-hmm. Because it's too late, you know, it's published, it is published already. So it's so helpful to have people that you trust and that you appreciate their opinion while working on the story, to hear their opinion, to you can still improve what you do. And this is amazing. I think I really got better because of the four of them, and also I have many useful tricks and ideas for the story. And when I was stuck with the story, I could always consult them. And
did you share a space working together, or kind of everyone worked at home? And
everyone worked at home, but we lived really no. Tel Aviv is very small. Israel is very small. Mm-hmm. It is even smaller. So it was we lived around about 5 minutes walk from each other. So it wasn't really a problem. Once in 2 or 3 weeks, when we work on a book, we meet. Not now, yes, because now I live far away. But we used to meet in each time it was in another apartment and. So it was almost like sharing a studio.
And this is something that you still actively take part in, correct? Like, maybe not meeting up as often, like you said, but I mean, you just had a book, an Actus book, come out over the summer.
Yeah. Well, thanks God, you know, for the internet, emails, Messenger. I used all of it, Skype. So it was yeah, when I was working on the last story, and which appears also in the collection, the fan story.
Yeah.
I was already living here, and the story is about Sheffield, where I live. And but I had, you know, I still had sent all the sketches and the story to Actus for. Remarks.
Now, one of the most interesting things I find in your work is your use of patterns on figures, like, I guess, the clothing and just the muted tone that you use. How did you incorporate that? Like, how did that become a part of your work?
What do you mean, like technically?
Kind of the texture in the colors. It's very unique.
Yeah. It's very, like, stonewashed, almost, I'd like to say.
No, but the question is how I do it or why I do it?
Let's start with why. Yeah.
Why? Because it's good. because I don't want it to be you know, like, just flat colors.
Mm-hmm.
And also it's very useful because in comics it's very difficult to draw, you know, you have to understand very quickly that the character is the same character all over the
mm-hmm.
story. And so if you use pattern or one, you know, bright color for the clothes, it's very informative for the reader. Very easy to follow the character. I do it on the computer. It's not, but I never use. You know, I try to do it more subtle, not very strong, because it tends to be like controlling all the page if you don't take care of it.
You can get lost in the science of the page.
It just can be too bright, you know. And, mm-hmm. and also, it's important to remember when the if the character is smaller, to make the pattern smaller.
Exit Wounds. It's really fascinating how you use that with the it's almost like a kind of like an old traditional cartoon where you have that really strong dynamic characters, really bright, and the background just kind of flows and kind of it's like a step back from everything else.
Yes. Well, this is because I have a problem that I really like to draw details. I could draw everything. So I draw the background and I don't pay attention to what happened, and sometimes it's too detailed, and then it was I found out that the characters are lost in the frame. So again, it was a matter of focus, how to put the focus on the characters or what I want to focus on the frame. And so I used this method of when the different layers have different color for the outlines. This is something that I stole from Winsor McCay. Mm-hmm. He's one of my favorite artists. And maybe this is why it looks also traditional. You know, it's something that used to be in print in the old days.
The kind of the gradations in the colors do kind of have that like newspaper look. Like some of it has aged a bit or something.
Yeah, I like all the. I like things that look a little bit old. That look a little bit so. I think it's, I always try to make the drawings seem like it was in the sun for a while.
Uh-huh. long white car that waited past the crowd. At the age of 37, she knew she'd found forever as she rode along through Paris with a warm wind in her hair.
Maybe we'll ask a little bit about Exit Wounds now. That came up, I guess, Miriam, you were...
It was 2006, is it, or 7?
No, 2000, I guess. Yeah, 7.
7, yeah.
And that was commissioned...
By John and Quarterly?
Yeah.
How did that, you know, how did those discussions start?
I think Chris Oliveira saw one of the Actus books, Happy End.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a story there that was, I think it was the first story that was about what we call the Israeli situation. Yes, it's just that not a story that could happen anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But about it was about not a really a terror attack, but something that to do with Israeli reality. And he liked the story, and he asked me to do a story for the John Quarterly anthology. And then after that, he asked me to do a book for him, and it was very exciting. He wrote me that it must be at least 100 pages. So I wrote him back that I can't do it because I never wrote such a long story, and it's possible. And I'm glad that he wrote back. No, you guys, I'm sure that you can do it. And so I had no choice, you know, because it was my dream for so many years to write to do a real book, a real graphic novel. So I had to just to find an idea and do it, and it was. It was wonderful. I really enjoyed doing it. It was 2 years of magic for me.
Some of your stories are more kind of very... some of your stories are very Israeli and very kind of set in place, and some of them are more like kind of not clear... you know, where the place is or kind of could be anywhere. I'm thinking about the one with the plastic surgery clinic. And, like, that one's kind of sort of out of all time and space, sort of feels like.
Yeah.
So is it just that you've become more interested in writing stories that are more grounded in a place, or is it just that, you know, sometimes you're interested in one thing and sometimes you're interested in another?
No, I think I became more interested in doing a story that it's, not to detach myself from the story. I found a way how to do it. It was, I didn't want to deal with it. I didn't want to write a story. I didn't want to my comics to be about Israel, about politics. I was afraid to deal with it, I think, because I didn't want it to be I didn't want my comics to be a flag, yeah, or like I didn't want to have a mission,
right,
or something that I wanted to say about I have opinions, political opinions, but I didn't want to use my comics as message to the, you know, to the people. And it took me some years to find a way to deal with this reality, to say my opinion without lecturing it.
Yeah,
it's difficult, you know. It's in the beginning when I tried in the past, it was always everything seemed so obvious, or you know, it's so shallow.
Right.
And It took me few years, and actually, when I did that, the story about the plastic surgery, at that time, I still thought that Israel is a very boring place, and so all my stories were about this imaginary place that looked like Europe in the 19th century, and again, it took me time to understand that I live in a quite interesting place, and I just have to look around and find the story or the stories.
Yeah, I feel like it's a very kind of, you know, tightrope to walk, that you do want to explain the country to outsiders, but that you don't want to be, you know, serving up stereotypes or serving up anything too simple.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I don't think that I can explain the situation or to explain who's. You know, I completely understand that people from outside Israel really want someone to explain to them what is really happening there. Who's the bad guy? Who is the good guy? And what's going? And why is we are fighting? And why it's not? You know, we just don't find a way to, you know, to solve it. But I am not the person who can do it, you know, because I really want someone to explain the same to me. And so I cannot explain it. I cannot justify it. I don't want to justify it. I don't want, but on the other hand, I don't want to be what, I think that Persepolis, for example, is a wonderful example. Where she succeeded to be very empathic to her country, but not to hide anything.
Yeah.
And it was really you read it and it's terrible things that happened there, but still you feel that she loves the people, she loves the country. And it's not trivial to do it, to be able to do it.
Because Exit Wounds was written, you know, with an North American, I guess, because it's drawn in quarterly audience in mind. And did you write the original? Did you write it out in English, or did you write it first in Hebrew and then try to translate it?
No, you probably hear from the way I speak that I cannot write in English, but I wrote in Hebrew, and then but I drew it in English. It seems that I worked with translation, and I already drew from left to right and not from right to left, like in Hebrew. And this was very problematic with the Israeli edition, because when I was working on the Israeli edition, I had to flip all the pages.
Mm-hmm.
And since my the hero of the story is a taxi driver, so when he flips the page, he's riding on the wrong side of the road. So I had to, in the 150 frames, I counted them, where he drives his car. So this way, it took me almost two years to work on the Israeli edition, because it was so boring to do it.
So almost the same amount of time as you were drawing it originally.
Yeah, well, I didn't work for 2 years. Just it took me 2 years, you know.
Okay.
Because I every time I sat on the computer, I always found something more interesting to do than drawing the same frame that I already drew with.
That sounds very tedious.
So when did the Hebrew version come out?
It was published this August.
And what have reactions been, you know, in Israel? The book got so much acclaim, you know.
Yeah, I was really afraid before the book was published, because it's different, you know, to when you write a story about. It's different when there are people who knows, you know, who they are there, and you they know how things are like and what they look like, and. But the reaction was were really good. Well, of course, there were always a lot of people say that the book is not Israeli enough. That it look Israel doesn't look like this, or all kind of and there were people who didn't like. Probably there were people who didn't like the book, but I didn't read the reviews.
Right.
Reviews can just be a headache. Critics are mean.
Yeah, good.
One thing I noticed in your short story, in one particular short story, and your most recent thing for the New York Times, is the use of singers. Is there...
Really?
Yeah, well, you've got the story of the New York Times about the singer dying in the hospital.
Yeah.
And the one in the... and Jamilti, you're mentioning the singer going to Sheffield.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if there's any connection there. Is that
and
just
before
something?
Before you said that you envied musicians as a clergyman.
Yeah. No, but I think I didn't think about it till you said it. But probably it's because I want to choose. I want to write about an artist, but I don't want to do it about cartoonists because it's too obvious. So I choose another art, and then it's singer.
Well, I guess that is a theme then, because you also have the plastic surgeon, who is an artist in his own way as well.
Yeah, no, the artist, the plastic surgeon he's an artist. Yes, completely. This is the way he sees himself, I'm sure. Or so, because he's already dead. 3 years ago.
And the another thing I noticed, and you may have other people comment, is Tintin. Tell me about...
Yeah.
Was that one of the comics that you were exposed to by this Belgian teacher?
Yeah, probably. This was he was from Belgium, and my education was European. More European than American as a comics artist, because he was my first teacher, and everything that I knew was from him about comics. And Tintin was one of the artists that he introduced me to, and I was very influenced by Hergé, not only then, but even when I worked on Exit Wounds, I was looking at Tintin's book because of his ability, not just the car, not the style of necessarily the style of the drawing, but his ability to put 20 frames in a page and still it's very clear. So how, you know, it's 20 small frames, very colorful, but still it's very easy to read it. And I think when I started working on Exit Wound, I thought was very important for me to explore is how to make it very more easy to read than a lot of comics that I read. I found it's very difficult to get into.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to find out how to do it more like a film or like a novel, that you forget that you are in the medium. You're just involved with the story. And this is something that I learned from Hergé. And the style of the drawing is not just from Hergé. I think it's also, I see the influence of American cartoonists from the beginning of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
From
well, you
the 30s and 40s.
You were mentioning Winsor McCay.
McKay and Glouyas Williams, Webster. You know, it's not, sometimes the influence is not direct, but still it's an influence. Sometimes you take something small from an artist, or something, not even something in the style, but the way he, for example, our Blackman.
That Little Orphan Annie, Harold.
Harold Gray?
Right, no.
No, Blackman.
No.
Oh, Blackman. I don't know.
What was his strip?
He's a minimalist American cartoonist. He's, I'm sure you know him, but just I don't know how to pronounce his name. But his style is not my similar. My styles are similar to his style, but the way his style was evolved influenced the way I worked. So it's very difficult. It's not a one to one. The influence is never one to one, but it's you can take, you know, from I was influenced by so many artists, so many great artists, that it's very difficult to say from who I was more influenced than other.
Well, I was also wondering, because I think, was it Dima, the main character in the murder mystery?
Mm-hmm.
Had a little bit of a Tintin look to him, I thought.
Yeah, he was more obvious Tintin.
A little nod?
Because of the hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking about the wrong stuff. All we care about is
What are you working on at this point? Like, what do you have in the future?
What I'm working now?
Yeah.
On one? Well, this is a very sensitive question, I'm afraid.
That's okay.
Because I'm struggling with a story with a new story for a few months now. And it's not working that well, or not as well as I was hoping. So, I'm in a point that it might be something, and it might go to, going to bury it in my computer for a few years and then come back to it. So I'm not sure what I'm working on now. But I have many ideas what I am going to work on in the future.
It's all a matter of time.
Yeah.
Well, how has the transition worked? Because, you've really pushed working on different, I guess, styles of storytelling. And the murder mystery, that was a big change for you, wasn't it? Doing the page-by-page storytelling.
Yes, yeah. It was a different format. I had to really to think how to do it, because each page, I understood that each page has to be like a short story of its own, you know, with the start and the ending and something dramatic, and to end with something that people would wait for the next week and still make the whole story, to keep the rhythm of the whole story. And also, it was only one page, you know, only in 9 or 12 frames. So it was a different experience, but I think it was good for me. It was very interesting and very exciting to work for the New York Times.
It was a neat series to be a part of. I mean, so many fantastic folks have been
what?
On there. So,
excuse me?
So many fantastic people have been in that whole Sunday.
Yeah, because of the... Yeah. So it was really a compliment. I was very happy that they asked me to do it. And they were a wonderful client, actually. They didn't interfere at all. They had many remarks about the punctuation and how to, if you say... all the grammar. They have their own grammar.
Yeah.
And they're very strict about it. And also they're very strict about it. It has to be very modest, you know. There was a frame that Dima put his hand on the nurse's breast.
Oh, wow.
I had to erase it.
What?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they had to kiss, only to kiss.
That's incredible. That really surprises me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's not like it's aimed at children or anything.
It's something that you'll have... I guess it's that problem. You can tell that in a story, but if you draw it, that suddenly becomes an issue. So...
No, it wasn't very important for me, but it was still a surprise. And in Israel, it would never have happened. Not because Israel is more, modern. It's just that. It was okay with me, because they were so perfect in so many ways. This project was, and also it was a opportunity to do this story, which is a story that I really wanted to do for a long time. I had it in my mind. I just didn't know where to do it. It was, I had the idea, but I didn't know how to. It wouldn't fit into. It was too long for a magazine, or too short for a book. So it was a good opportunity to use it and to write it.
It was
to get rid of it.
Get it off the computer.
Yeah.
Miriam?
So for the last 2 years, you've been living in England.
Yeah.
Have you kind of found a comics community there?
Well, you know, the problem is, for most of the people in the world, when England is London.
Mm-hmm.
There are still friends. I live here for 2 years. Still, some of my friends said, "Well, now that you are in London, but I'm not in London. I'm in Sheffield."
Yeah,
which is very nice. place to live, but there's no comics in here, I'm afraid. And not anything.
Just cows.
And tea.
I don't go out that much. And also, it's freezing. It's going to snow on Thursday.
Oh dear.
And so I spend most of the time in my room or in the internet.
How now? Since releasing Exit Wounds, you've done a lot of conventions in North America. You were at SPX, the San Diego. How has that changed your look, how you saw comics, seeing this whole, like, I don't know how exposed you were before. Did this change how much you'd seen?
I was traveling before, not that much, and not to America so much, but enough to see that it's a huge change
mm-hmm.
in comics in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an explosion. It's completely different, and not in America and in Europe too. There's so many. New artists and different styles, alternative artists, and it seems that the audience is less homogenic,
mm-hmm.
and it's very exciting. It's like, you know, something is happening, and we are in the middle of it. I felt very lucky that it happened now, because it happened now because I started doing comics. I had no idea if comics is if alternative comics is commercial or not.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. I just started doing comics, and I didn't see the difference. I didn't see the difference between what I'm doing and Superman. For me, it was the same. I didn't understand why this is why people are telling me this won't sell, and this, yes, you know. And so I did, you know, I do what I do for 20 years now, and suddenly it seems that many people are doing it also, you know, and it becomes more. More popular, and it's just luck.
Well, it's a good time to be in it.
Yeah.
I think we have our questions. Do you have any more, Miriam?
Not that I could think of.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time with us, Rutu.
Can I ask Miriam a question?
Yo, yeah. Please, go ahead.
I saw that you had in Israel some... that your comics was distributed, and there was some sort of some event about it.
Oh yeah, I did a signing.
You were
at one
there?
Of the what?
You were in Israel?
Yeah, I was there in early September.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a signing at Comics and Vegetables.
Uh-huh.
There are 3 comic shops in Tel Aviv that,
yeah,
you know, will
no,
do alternative
three
comics.
In Israel, maybe.
So one of them had like bought some of my comics when I was in the country before, and so I just called them up and said, do you want to do like, should we do an event or a signing or something? And so I set it up very quickly. It was like 2 weeks, but kind of a decent, you know, not a big crowd, but you know, people were coming in and people were interested in it, and it was so much fun.
Yeah, it's a very nice shop. I know the owner is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's really neat because, you know, it's not all superhero stuff, and it makes me feel like the Israeli market is, you know, kind of starting to be ready for, you know, alternative stuff and also a lot of local stuff. Like that shop has a lot of, you know, Israeli self-published comics at it.
Wait, he was about a superhero, no? In a way.
Not really. kind of like a, you know, except without any skills.
Yeah.
So it seems like, you know, even in Israel, even such a small market, it seems like there's more of a demand for, you know, alternative comics and, you know, literary type comics, which I think is really cool.
Well,
I was actually surprised to see that the manga boom is going on in Israel as well. And so all the teenagers are reading manga in English.
Yeah, now it's comics becomes more and more popular in Israel too. And I don't think it's a big market, but it's much more popular than it was 10 years ago or
right.
5 years ago.
Because, yeah, I still don't know if it's possible for an artist to support themselves on comics in Israel.
On Israel.
No, it's difficult everywhere. Yeah.
That's true.
It is. It's a sad, sad truth. We come across constantly on the studs. Well, thank you so much, Rutu. And,
thank you. Thank you very much.